Acts 17, I would like to read verses 1 through verse 8, verse 1 through verse 8, and then from there preach to you, give you some teaching, some lessons from these verses here. Acts 17, verses 1 to 8. I'm going to read these verses, and you can just follow along looking at the words. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica. I'm used to reading this in Spanish, by the way, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask you tonight to help me, give me the right words to say. I pray, Lord, you get rid of these knots that are in my tongue so I can speak English correctly, and pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do work in our hearts, speaking to us, Lord, and guiding us to what you want us to do, what changes you want us to make, Lord. We pray these things and ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In this section of the Bible, these verses of the Bible, we see that Paul and his helpers, his companions, his workers, they arrived at how do you say that in English? Thessalonica. It's like the accent's in a different spot. I'm used to saying it in Spanish. Thessalonica. I can't even speak English anymore. I don't think I could speak it before. And what they were trying to do was they were going to the city, going to the synagogue. They were going to preach the gospel and looking for open doors. You know, what's interesting sometimes when we talk to people or give out gospel tracts, sometimes there's closed doors. And we focus on the closed door. Leave me alone. Get out of here. Get off my property. Don't bother me. And we focus on that, and it's like we're done. But you know, what we need to do is we need to focus on finding open doors, looking for folks because there's always somebody that wants to know something, and maybe we're not going to be able to win that person to the Lord, but we can certainly sow the seed. We can certainly do something to get the gospel out, that maybe the next person or three or four people down the road, there'll be somebody that'll be able to give them the gospel and see the result. And we need to look for open doors. And this is, they did it in such a way, Paul and his companions, they did it in such a way. It says these words in verse 2. It says, as his manner was. As his manner. You know what? Paul was always looking to get the gospel out. Paul was always looking to do all he could do to let people know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we need to do. It wasn't once in a while. It wasn't here and there. It was everywhere. And Paul, because he wanted to see the Jewish people saved, even though his ministry, God said, was to the Gentiles, but he wanted the Jewish people saved. And if we were to look in Romans chapter 9, but we don't need to go there. I mean, you can look for it afterwards in home when you're inside and you're there in your warm house away from the snow. But in Romans chapter 9, he was talking about his great burden in his heart to see the Jewish people. It was his heart's desire to see the Jewish people saved. Romans chapter 10 at the beginning, verses 1 to 4, talking about the same thing, talking about the zeal of the Jewish people, but how they didn't know. They didn't know the truth. And he wanted his people to be saved. And we should have that same desire. Now, about our family members. My dad is lost. When we went to see him in July, went to a conference, went to see my dad, Abby, our daughter, went with us. My dad won't listen to me. I can start a conversation and he's like ready to fight right off the bat. There's no open door there. But you know what? Abigail, she told him. She gave him the gospel. She showed him the Bible verses and he couldn't fight with her. But he can fight with me and easily, and I fight back. But I don't know what it is. It's like, and I've said this to my dad before. I said, you know what, Dad? I'm just like you, except we don't think alike. And you know what? Abby is just like me. So he has three in a row. One, two, three. And I guess maybe he didn't dare fight with Abby. But she gave him the gospel. And you know, I was thinking about this. You may not be able to win your mom or dad, or maybe your brothers or sisters, but you can certainly do something to win other people's mom and dads and brothers and sisters, that maybe the Lord will open the door that somebody is going to talk with your brother or sister, your mom or dad, or somebody in your family and give them the gospel. But it needs to be our desire. And what did Paul do? He showed them from the scriptures, from the word of God. And that's the most important thing is what God has said, his word. We need to be doing the same thing, using the Bible, showing the Bible verses, letting people know. And you know, a lot of times we can give people the Bible without opening the Bible in front of them, because you open it, it's like, hey, get away from me. I don't want that. I don't want that. And you tell them the Bible, and they don't know what you're telling them, but the word of God has an effect on them. And we need to be doing that. And the Apostle Paul, he was giving the gospel out. But you know, what happens is, when you give the message out, there's always going to be some type of results. Maybe it might be somebody wants to fight. Maybe it might be somebody receiving it. It says here that of the chief women, not a few. And it's talking about the Greeks receiving the message. And what happened was, there was a lot of people getting saved. But the Jewish people, they were angry. They were angry. And you know, as you do something for the Lord, there's always going to be opposition.
Yes, sir.
And the fact that there's opposition isn't a reason to quit. It's a reason for us to double down and go forward even further, stronger, and doing all we can do. Because if there's opposition, the devil's against us, God is for us. And you know, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the Lord Jesus wants to do something great. The Jews that believed not, they moved with envy. They were against Paul. They were against his helpers, his workers, and they didn't want the message out. But God wanted to do a great work there. And the devil's crowd, when are they going to quit? When they see they're losing somebody, they get angry. This is interesting about this passage. The Jewish people there, they wanted those people in that city, those Gentiles, to join with them. But you know, the Gentiles were like, no, I don't want this. No, I'm not interested in this. And here comes Paul and his other helpers going there and preaching the gospel. And then like the whole city is joining with them. And here they are like, man, now they got a bigger crowd than us. We're jealous about it. And they wanted to cause problems. And what did they do? They got the devil's crowd there. They got, it says, lewd fellows of the baser sort. To help them out, you know, it didn't matter what they had to do to win. They're going to cheat, lie, steal, and anything. And that's what they were doing, the devil's crowd there. And that only happens when we actually get busy serving the Lord and doing what we can do. These people, they became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world, obviously against them. You know, if a person, you know, I think about this about Mexico. You know, if the son is a drunk, he's a womanizer, foul mouth, living like the devil, no problem, no problem. But if he goes to a Baptist church and gets saved and gets baptized, what do? Kick him out of the house. Isn't that how the world is? It's all right to put up with the son being a terrible sinner, rotten as the devil, and there's no problem there, but when he gets religion, as they would call it, out of here. You're not our son anymore. And we've seen that happen many times in our churches there in Mexico, and it's interesting what the devil does. The devil never gives up. His people never give up, but you know, many times, us Christians, we give up. What do they say about the Apostle Paul and his helpers and his Silas and the workers there? It says in verse 6, it says, the last part of the verse, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. That's really interesting. I mean, they were tearing it up. They were tearing it up. They were going to town there, getting the gospel out and telling everybody and doing all that they could do, and God was working with them. These people, they turned the world upside down. Wouldn't it be great if the folks around here said, man, those people at Blessed Hope, they've turned the world upside down. Wouldn't that be great if people would say those words about us? They were accused of doing things against the law of Rome. They didn't do anything wrong. And you know, it's funny how the devil's crowd will accuse us. You know, accuse us of doing. The bad part is a lot of times when the devil's crowd accuses us, they're actually telling the truth.
Right. Yes, sir. Right.
The devil accusing us night and day, right, up in heaven. And you know what? He just about don't have to lie never.
Right.
That's sad.
Yeah, that's right.
They turned the world upside down. They accused them of having another king instead of having Caesar. But you know what? Jesus didn't come to rule and reign at that time. And he's not ruling and reigning in this world, but there is one place he wants to rule and reign. Right here. Right here. He wants us to do that. He wants to allow him to rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives. The devil and his followers, they want to win at all costs. Doesn't matter how they win. But you know what? I remember looking at the last pages of the Bible, and you know what? We are on the winning side. We are on the winning side. We may have some problems here in this life. We may have some losses here in this life, things that don't go how we want them to go. But you know what? In the final end, we're going to be coming back with him on white horses from heaven. We're not going to have to fight. We're going to see him with the sword coming out of his mouth and chopping the devil's crowd to shreds. We're on the winning side. Now, I would like to return to a point that I had mentioned about how they turned the world upside down. Paul and his helpers were the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had turned the world upside down, and what they did was against what the world does. They were against the flow of the world, the style of the world, the way the world does. They were against all of that. They weren't living their lives, adapting their lives to the world's way of doing things. They were going against the world. And you know, the Bible says that he that loves the world makes himself an enemy of God. I can't believe this. When we're in different churches and we see how the church has made itself just like the world, the way of doing things, the way of talking, the way of dressing, I'm shaking my head. I'm just surprised at it. I'm not saying that here about you all, but we've been in different churches, and you say, wow, I remember being in that church 10 years ago. And I say to myself, you know, if I was in the area with my family and needing to stop for church, I would go to the church on the other side of town. That's pretty sad, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Funny how many times we make ourselves just like the world. We follow the thinking of the world and the reasoning of the world. But you know, we're supposed to be different. And that's the very reason why Jesus said, you know, the world is going to hate you because the world has always hated me. And if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and we're going to tear things up and turn the world upside down, the world isn't going to like us at all. They're going to say, man, you guys are crazy. But you know, the crazy ones are the devil's crowd. We're not, you know, yesterday Pastor Jerry was out soul winning, and brother, you were out with us too, and my wife and I, we were knocking on doors and trying to look for open doors to get the gospel out. And you know, it was actually fun. But you know, some of those people, they were like, man, what are you doing? It's cold outside. Of course, some of them came outside standing on their porch. No, they didn't have no socks on or no shoes on, no jacket. And I'm like, man, aren't you cold? And he says, nah, I'm fine. And my hands were like crawling up, like going up into like this and freezing to death. And I'm trying to show him the Bible verses. It was cold. The world thinks we're crazy. But you know what? The world says, why aren't you doing what we do? They think it's something strange when we don't do what the world does. Let's go see 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4. They say, why don't you dress like we dress? Why don't you talk like we talk? Why don't you go to the dances and the parties and the drink? Why don't you drink like we drink? 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and idolatries. It's like I'm just reading in Spanish. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. To them, it's strange that we don't do what they do. They want us to be conformed to their method, their thinking, their way of doing things. But you know, the Bible even says that we shouldn't even talk about their evil deeds. Ephesians 5:11. We shouldn't even talk about what they do. To the drunk, it seems strange that we don't drink. To the partygoers, it seems strange that we don't go with them. To the liars, it seems strange that we don't lie like they do. To the teen girls that dress very bad, it seems that modestly dressed girls look like grandmas. Isn't that funny how they use their words in order to try to change the way we do things? You know what we need to do? We need to tear it up. We need to tear this. We need to turn this world upside down. That's what we need to do. We need to be real Christians in our lifestyle and our way of doing things and different than the world, because you know what? They're empty. They have nothing. They want something, but they haven't found it yet. And they're trying one thing and another, but what they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to show them the way. We don't need to follow the ways of the world. Paul wasn't following the ways of the world when he arrived at Thessalonica. I said it right, didn't I? He was tearing it up. He was tearing the world. He was turning the world upside down. I get mixed up in my English. I would rather speak in Spanish, honestly. And then I think about Christians that are Sunday Christians. May come to church with a suit on, suit and tie, jacket and tie. May come to church with Bible in hand. May come to church with a nice skirt on, a nice dress. Sunday Christians. But Monday through Saturday, the people at work, if you were to say to them, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church every Sunday. They would be rolling their eyes saying, nah, don't believe you. Not true. Is that what we're supposed to be as part-time Christians? If Paul and his helpers and his companions, they turned the world upside down, they were getting the gospel out, they were doing all that they could do, they were going against the way the world does things, and yet among us many times we have Sunday Christians, we have secret Christians, part-time Christians. Not following the world and following Jesus is turning the world upside down in front of their eyes. How can we turn the world upside down? How can we be like Paul and Silas and the folks that were there doing all that they could do? Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. I remember one time a missionary came to our church, and he was doing the Sunday school. And I told him, I said, listen, you're going to have 30 minutes of time. And boy, he was going over bad. It was already like 45 minutes. And he said, Pastor, can I finish my message? And I just was like a rock. I didn't say no. I didn't say yes. I just sat there. And he got the answer. And so he chopped it off shortly thereafter. And he went an hour in the 30 minutes time, right? I'm not going to do that, right, Pastor? I already chopped out like 3/4 of the message. I have no idea what I'm saying, where I'm going. What did I say? Acts 10:38. Okay, Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, if we want to turn the world upside down, walk like Jesus. Live like Jesus.
Right.
Imitate the life of Jesus.
Right.
How are we going to do that? We need God's power to do that. It's impossible otherwise. We need to read the Bible, pray, study the Word of God, help in the ministries of the church, witness, have a good testimony. There's so much that we can do if we just actively seek to do it. Paul, as the words I said before in the beginning of the spot that we read, it says about Paul, as his manner was. My question is, what are we accustomed in doing? What is it that we do all the time? We don't even have to think to do it. Did you all ever leave somewhere and you're driving and you're supposed to go to a certain spot, but because by what you're accustomed in doing, you end up in a different location, and then you're like, man, how did I get here? It's like I leave my house and I'm supposed to be going somewhere and I end up at the church. Or, it's like you're not planning. You're just doing something. It's what you're in a habit of doing, what you're accustomed to do. Now, the truth is, wouldn't it be a great thing if our custom was to always hand out gospel tracts or talk about the Lord Jesus Christ or invite people to church? The fact of the matter is that what is our desire? What is it that we want to do? Do we want to see people saved? It's so easy how people get sidetracked in life, you know? You get a job and they say, you're going to work on Sundays. And I say, bye-bye, I ain't working here no more. But you know, you get accustomed to doing something, and pretty soon you're missing a little bit of church, and then you're missing more church, and then you're not even in church, and you get accustomed to doing things that are incorrect and are wrong. We ought to have these customs, these habits that we're doing something good and right, like the Lord Jesus Christ, getting the gospel out and telling people, inviting people about to church, and doing all these different things, customs as far as reading the Bible every morning, getting up and reading the Word of God and praying and walking with the Lord, so that we have the wherewithal to turn this world upside down. Many times we as Christians, we don't have any substance in our lives. Like having a form of godliness. But really, if you get rid of the form, the outside, underneath of it, there's really not too much. And you know, a walk with God will give us that substance, so the outside will definitely have something underneath of it. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to turn this world upside down. I think about years past. Deputation. 1996, 1997. Cell phones? Nope. Nothing. Internet connection? Nothing. Nothing. You had to go back home to the phone and make phone calls to get hold of pastors and get meetings. I remember the first time, the first month's phone calls, I got a $545 phone bill for making phone calls at the house. And you know, nowadays it's like, it's totally different. But you know what? With the good is the bad. With all the tools that there are for us to be able to serve the Lord, and yet many times those things are what gets us sidetracked away from God, away from the church, and away from the things of God. So it seems like the devil gets in our backyard and he's tearing it up. He's turning the world upside down in our churches and in our lives, but we're not turning the world upside down as far as like getting the gospel out and getting people involved in church and ourselves getting involved in church. And God's work goes down and the devil's work goes up. Making the devil mad because we seek to please God, that ought to be our goal. Being crazy serving the Lord Jesus Christ, or being crazy sinning with the world and being filled with the world and doing wrong, not good at all. So we go back to the verses that I read at the beginning. Paul and Silas and the helpers there, going into the city, they were angry. They were upset. Not Paul and Silas, the devil's crowd.
Right.
Taking them, and you know what's interesting is they pulled this poor guy Jason out of his house. And when I read that, every time I read that, you know what I think about? Jacksonville. No, honestly, what is Jacksonville? Must have been some guy, Jason, that lived here before this started. It was just Jacksonville, you know? And so they pulled this guy, Jason, out of the house, and they're dragging him to the authorities, you know, wanting to throw him in jail. It's just kind of funny. I don't know about you, but when I read things, I see stuff behind the words. And the opposition of the devil. I don't think we ought to look for opposition. But you know what I think? If it comes, stand strong. If it comes, if they knock us down, get back up. But if we're going to do that, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And if we don't have the substance behind the surface that you see, the devil's going to knock us down and we're just going to stay on the ground and we'll just quit. Wholly giving ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, wholly giving ourselves to His will, giving ourselves to what's right and what's correct. And if we don't do that, we'll probably wholly give ourselves to the sins of the world. May the people around here say, those folks at Blessed Hope, they've turned the world upside down. They're tearing it up. It's unbelievable what they're doing. I don't want to go there. No, I don't want to be like them. But boy, they are really tearing it up. Wouldn't it be great if we had that testimony? Yeah.